Upfront, inside Atlanta's entertainment industry, is brought to you by Atlanta's Jazz Station, 91.9 FM, WCLK.
Coming up on this week's show, Upfront continues to celebrate Black Music Month by talking to noted director Thomas W. Jones II and actor extraordinaire Eugene H. Russell IV. The two are here to chat about their new production of Five Guys Named Mo, taking place now at Theatrical Outfit. Upfront was also on the scene recently for Kenny Leon's Applauds Awards Brunch, where True Colors Theater Company honored Felicia Rashad, Pearl Clegg, Camille Russell Love, and more. The event was the culmination of True Colors' 16th anniversary. I'll also be playing music from Snarky Puppy, Louis Jordan, and The Roots. But first, here's Reva Blue with this week's casting buzz and entertainment news.
All right, Mr. DeMille, I'm ready for my close-up.
The African American Film Critics Association has teamed up with Revolt TV to spotlight rising young filmmakers in a new series titled Short and Fresh. The bi-monthly show airs Friday at 10 p.m. Each one-hour episode of Short and Fresh provides audiences with a lens into independent urban short films and scripted content across genres from comedy to horror and romance. AFCA is currently targeting young creatives whose vision represents hip-hop identity within film. Filmmakers have until Friday, June 30th, to enter. Go to WCLK.com for more information. In other related entertainment news, don't forget to tune into the Tony Awards tomorrow night at 8 p.m. on CBS. Ain't Too Proud, the exciting musical about the Temptations, is up for 12 nominations, including Best Musical. Other nominees include Broadway legends Andre DeShields and George C. Wolfe. Go to WCLK.com to see a full listing of nominees. That's this week's Casting Buzz and Entertainment News. I'm Reva Blue.
Hey, Upfront listeners, if you're enjoying today's show, then go to WCLK.com and make a donation today. Your financial support is what keeps shows like Upfront on the air. That's WCLK.com and click the donate button.
Chef Jannard from Cleo TV's New Soul Kitchen, and you're listening to Upfront with Ray Cornelius.
True Colors Theater Company recently held their annual Applauds Awards Brunch at the Intercontinental in Buckhead. The event recognizes organizations and individuals who have contributed to True Colors and Atlanta's overall arts and cultural scene. This year's honorees included the Georgia Justice Project, Warner Media, Pearl Clegg, Camille Russell Love, and Felicia Rashad, who received the Jane Bishop National Theater Award. Here's what honoree Camille Russell Love says is the most rewarding part about being the executive director for the Mayor's Office of Cultural Affairs.
We started a program called the Cultural Experience Project, and this is where we wanted to make sure that Atlanta's public school children got access to cultural venues, that they actually, you know, went to the Alliance Theater, sat in the seat, saw the performance on that stage, knew where the Alliance Theater was. And so we have done that now. We're going to embark upon our 15th year. But making sure that we allowed Atlanta's children to understand that this cultural ecology in the city belongs to them, as well as to the, you know, patrons who can afford to go to these arts organizations. I think that because I'm a grandmother and because I'm a cultural junkie, and I have had the extreme honor and benefit of what culture can mean in your life, to have a program that I feel will impact children in years to come. You know, they may not realize it, but to, you know, to go to the Fox Theater and experience the Nutcracker, you know, to go to the opera and hear Porgy and Bess, and it's just important. And so I'm just very proud of that. And then I'm very proud that we have managed to keep the Atlanta Jazz Festival. We just completed our 42nd year, and to keep it free, to me, has been something I'm very proud about.
Award-winning author and playwright Pearl Clegg shared one of her most memorable Kenny Leon moments.
Kenny commissioned the first play that I did at the Alliance, which was Flying West, many years ago when he was the artistic director there. And we had the first preview of the show, and it was actually a night for city employees to come to the show. And the response was so wonderful and so enthusiastic and just exactly what, as a playwright and a director, you would want that opening to be. And it was raining, and he was giving me a ride home, I think, but it was raining, and we were sitting in the car, and rain was pouring down, and he looked at me and said, "We are good at this. We should keep doing this." And I said, "I intend to." So we kind of shook hands, and it was like, okay, we're going to keep doing this. But I love Kenny because Kenny believes that theater has the power to change people's lives, and I believe that too. So that it's, you know, Kenny is a wonderful director, a gifted director, but he's really, you know, a person who is trying to do work that is very spiritual. You know, he's doing theater work, but he's also really trying to make people see each other as human beings. And I think that's part of the beauty of what it is he brings to all the theater work he does. So I have, you know, a million Kenny Leon stories, but that one when he was kind of like, "We're good at this, we should keep this up." You know, it's like, okay, we will. And we did.
Kenny, who is currently directing Much Ado About Nothing for New York's Shakespeare in the Park, explained how this year's honorees were chosen.
We always think of ourselves as a holistic theater company. And, you know, there's been some people from in this community, like Camille Love, who's been there from day one to support not just True Colors, but all the arts in town. And sometimes those people go, we overlook them, you know, and especially, I think, people of color. We're doing great work, and Pearl Clegg has just been an anchor in this community. And Felicia Rashad, you know, and if you look at, if I look at all the things that we've done in the last 17 years now, it's like all those people were supportive of great theater and great art in this community for all those years. You know, if you look at Felicia, she's done like 3 or 4 shows with us, and Camilla supported big initiatives with us. And, you know, we've done Pearl Clegg's work, and she's been there to help us with our outreach to the community as well. So, you know, this is good to be home.
The Applauds Awards also served as the official installation of Jameel Jude as True Colors Theater Company's new artistic director. Kenny recalls seeing Jameel as a younger version of himself.
It's good to work with Jameel. You know, we worked together a long time ago. He was associate director for me with a lot of plays I directed. And then I've always wanted to have him come back home. And then, you know, him working a year together, now 2 years together, it's like he's the one. And I've never said this to anyone, but in an interview, someone asked me to talk about him. That's my phone buzzing, but asked me to talk about him. I said, and I don't mean this in a disrespect to him, but what I said was like, he reminds me of a 32-year-old Kenny Leon. And I've never said that about any artist or any human being. And I really like, and I was surprised I said it. I was like, shit. That's true. So it's time to hand the torch off, and you know, this guy could work anywhere in the country. He can work in any community. He has the skill set to do television, theater, and film. He's just great, and I think that we're just kind of lucky that he happens to be in Atlanta as a part of his journey right now. So it's not even bittersweet, it's just sweet.
Go to WCLK.com for photos and a full recap of the event. Hey Upfront listeners, if you're enjoying today's show, then go to WCLK.com and make a donation today. Your financial support is what keeps shows like Upfront on the air. That's WCLK.com and click the donate button.
I've got a man who's always late. Anytime we have a date, but I love him.
Hi, this is Kathleen Bertrand, and you're listening to Upfront with Ray Cornelius.
You just heard the voice of Dinah Washington performing Louis Jordan's classic, Is You Is or Is You Ain't My Baby. The song is just one of the many Jordan tunes in the fast-paced theatrical production of Five Guys Named Mo. The show is taking place now through June 30th at Theatrical Outfit. I caught up with the show's director, Thomas W. Jones II, and one of the show's stars, Eugene H. Russell IV.
Well, guys, welcome to Upfront. How are you?
Good. Good to be here.
Thank you for having us.
I don't think I've had you here before.
Oh, you know.
No. Actually, I did have you here for the True Colors production. I can't think of the name right now.
Was who it King Headley?
Who are you?
Yeah, King Headley.
Who are you pointing to? You being who? Eugene Russell?
Yeah, Eugene. Well,
you know what? You're absolutely right. Let's get some names. Let's start over here, Tom.
I'm Tom Jones.
The third?
The second.
The second.
I'm Tom Jones. You're right. I am Tom Jones III. I'm Thomas W. Jones II.
That's right.
Thank you for reminding me.
And you, young man?
Eugene H. Russell IV.
Hey, so we're talking to the guys behind the magic of Five Guys Named Mo that's taking place right now over at Theatrical Outfit now through June 30th. And you guys just had an exciting opening weekend.
Yeah. We did. Yeah. We did. Yeah. They're killing this six of some of the most talented men, I think, in the city of Atlanta. Oh, you know, they're really doing some extraordinary work. When I tell you they can sing, I mean, they can sing. But they're also amazing dancers and movers and actors. And so it's a good time. A good time to be had by all, as they say.
So, Tom, you're directing this show. What made you say yes when they called or when they emailed or texted and said, you know?
Pretty much the paycheck. Yeah. Does this come with money?
Oh, it does. I'm available.
Oh, look at that opening in my schedule. Now, I've always been a Louis Jordan. I've always loved the show Five Guys Named Mo. It's a Clark Peters piece that was actually developed initially in London. In fact, a good buddy of mine, Clement Derricks Carroll, was one of the original members. Yeah, you remember. We did Body Snatchers together. But he was one of the original members, and Clark Peters, it was kind of a vehicle for himself, and played Broadway some years ago, but it was really this extraordinary piece about the music of Louis Jordan. Okay. You know, and doing that exploration. And I think Louis Jordan is like one of the underground jewels, you know, really kind of a linchpin in terms of moving the music from big band to R&B. You know, so without Louis Jordan, there's no Chuck Berry, there's no Elvis Presley, right. there's no R&B movement in terms of as it progressed and as quickly as it progressed. So there's all the songs you know, you say, oh, I didn't know he did that, you know, but it's, so that, knowing that they were getting ready to do Five Guys, when I heard Tom Key over at Theatrical Outfit said they were considering it, I was like, you know, I told S. Renee Clark, our musical director, just put in a word that I'm available. I mean, he doesn't have to hire me, but just put in a word, just in case they don't have any. So, it's a joy. It's a joy doing it.
And let's talk about the story behind it, because I think most people don't realize that there's an actual story. They think of the music, but there's an actual story.
It is. It's loosely based on a guy who's a fool. You know, who's early in the morning and he's broken up with his woman because he's a fool, and kind of these Moes who are actually one of the Louis Jordan songs called Five Guys Named Mo, you know, which is the premise. They come to him in a dream, if you will, to try and convince him the error of his ways, show him the error of his ways, you know, that. So it's a wonderful kind of vehicle to lynch all the songs together and, you know, link all the songs together. But yeah, there is a. There is actually a book to it, that it's not just a review, which was really kind of surprising for a lot of folks who've been here through the past week. And they say, wow, I don't remember that story. So I think we took a lot of time to try and really say, okay, let's not just gloss over what the story is.
Yeah. And I'm going to come back to that. Eugene, let's talk about your character.
Sure. Nomo is who I play. Nomo is the band leader of the Moes. Nomo is kind of the straight man, you know, not really the comedic of the bunch, not the goofiest of the bunch, and not even necessarily the father figure of the bunch. I think Big Mo is. Nomo is charged with the same task as the other Moes, right, to get Nomac straightened out. But he's more strategic with it, or more let's get it done. You know, come on, Moes, we got to get to this gig. He's not getting it, so let's do it this way. Kind of driving the task bus a little bit, though we're thrown off lots of times because Nomax is just a mess.
Yeah. Wow. I want to go back to you, Tom. Let's talk about the story again and what kind of Tom Jones spin. Because, you know, if we've ever gone to if you've ever gone to a Tom Jones production, there's mm-hmm. always this spin that you put on the story. So can you tell us if you added that Tom Jones spin to it?
I tried to. We tried. We were successful. We were going to just call the show No Mo because Mo's were dropping like flies in the rehearsal process. It's a very physical show, yeah. You know, and actually I brought in an assistant choreographer with me this time, a really brilliant brother named Jelani Jones, who, mm-hmm. you know, went to Tri-Cities and has been in and around the city, YEA, has been in and around the city for years and years. Yeah. So it's because we wanted to really do tricks. So we did an homage to the Nicholas Brothers. We did we kept it moving. You know, we kind of physicalized all the stories in a way so that there was always these three narratives going on. There was the musical narrative, there was the dramatic narrative, and there was a choreographic narrative. Mm-hmm. So if you were to take away any one of those elements, I think you could follow it. If you were to just, you know, plug your ears up, you could follow the story just by what the movement was. If you couldn't see and just, you know, closed your eyes, you could follow the story by just what the music and you know, the dramatic text. So we kind of did that. It's very physical. They move a lot.
They hurt you know. Right now.
I was going to say, so for you as the actor that has to do this, because Tom is just kind of sitting there saying, this, but for you as the actor.
Wait a minute. I got up and did a few steps. I did a step or two.
Yeah, Tom like I just sat in a chair.
Turn twice and split. Yeah, he did. I did something.
No, actually, that was one of the most entertaining parts of the process for us. Because everything Tom gave us, he would get up and do.
Okay.
You know, so there was some times, let me see Tom get up on this table. And he did, you know. I'm like, don't get it twisted, y'all. Tom dances.
I didn't get down off the table.
Yeah, we helped him down.
Yeah, he had to get a step ladder. I got up.
So the challenge of it, like, I love the challenge of it. Because on a business note, right?
Of which you can do all three.
Well, I certainly give it a good shot. You know,
he can. He's being modest. He can.
I appreciate it. I love the challenge of it because, like, on a business note, right, we're being paid to take on everything that's thrown at us, right? So on a business note, you know, whatever I'm doing dance-wise, I got to make it work with whatever I have to sing and make that work with whatever I have to say. So it's not a matter of, am I going to get it? It's a matter of, okay, how quickly can I get it? You know what I mean? Let me put in the work to make this work, to get this in my body. So, yeah, I mean, the challenge, the biggest thing is endurance, right? Conditioning. We still get pretty winded in certain parts of the show, but not nearly as winded as we did.
But you never know. I think that was one of the amazing comments that I heard from people that said, wow, it was so physical, mm-hmm. and you never heard them breathe. Well, you never heard them out of breath. That they would just, you know, and, you know, Renee's harmonies, the harmonies of the show are wonderful, but then she came in, reorchestrated some of those harmonies, and they're just, because we had such talented people, that she could afford to stretch the music out in a way that many other productions don't. And to hear them do these really intricate kind of jazz harmonies and spin and stop, and you never hear them go, that kind of, you know, breathing was really, comment I got more than four or five times from folks who came to see the show. They said, wow, and it's very rare in Atlanta that you see a show where you try and create six triple threats. Mm-hmm. Usually there are the dancers, you know, and actors may do some moving, but there are the dancers, mm-hmm. and then you have the singers, and then you have kind of the actors, and sometimes there's a lot of overlapping, but we really kind of demanded that they be all three, and that's what I think is the exciting part of the show, that you're watching six really elegant performers kind of execute, you know, musically and choreographically in a way that's just, it makes it very, very exciting.
Well, that gives us confidence too as performers, because when we know that Tom's not dumbing down the dance, and when we know that S. Renee Clark is not dumbing down the music, we're like, okay, so they cast us with full confidence that I can do this dance and sing these harmonies. Okay, let's do it. It created kind of a not competitive culture amongst the most, like competing against one another, but more of a encouraging culture. Like our thing is, and Tom might have witnessed us do this at times, it's like, no, you know, maybe it's a little pride too. It was like, no, I don't want you to change the step. No, I don't want you to change the harmony. We got it. We can do it. And so that challenge has just been wonderful. I feel like I'm a stronger artist at this part of the process than I was at the beginning, you know, even this many years into the game.
Yeah. So, Tom, I want to go back to something that we were talking about offline. You never see the opening night. So
no.
Where did that tradition sort of start?
Well, years ago when I was running a theater company in Atlanta called Jumanji,
Wait. Don't just say it like that. You can't just throw that out there like that.
I got a way to tie that in.
The iconic Jumanji.
Yeah, well, thank you. Thank you.
So, one of my first shows in Atlanta was a Jumanji production.
Is that right?
With Shonda Corelli.
Oh, yeah. Which one was it?
This was 1998. I can't remember.
It must have been Slam.
And she was she actually played Billie Holiday.
Okay. It must have been. Wow. I'm trying to think.
And this was over at 14th Street Playhouse.
Right.
The SCAD show.
It could have been. Yeah, it is a SCAD show. It could have been any number of things. We did an Adam Clayton Powell musical, I think.
Which
he played. Yeah. That George Faison.
Yeah.
Actually, the legendary George Faison directed. Yeah. We were telling, horrible George Faison stories the other day, who's like just strictly a hard task. You talk about Taskmaster. But genius. George Faison, who won the Tony Award for The Wiz. Did the movie and the Broadway. I mean, but he was.
Tom, one day I learned so much listening to Tom. I'm serious. I'm right here with my mouth open now.
Wow. Yeah, but that was shot. In fact, there was a funny George, and I digress. I'll come back. But the George Chandra story, where George has a legendary potty mouth.
Okay.
And he is known for the first time I met George was at the Fox during the National Black Arts Festival, and he was just reaming this young dancer on stage words that I cannot say on radio, but just you. And so the dancer who was obviously doing the wrong step moved. He said, "No, not you, the other blah blah blah." So of course we're in rehearsal for it was a Jeff Stetson piece that Jeff Stetson and Keith Lee had done on Adam Clayton Powell called Keep the Faith. And George is in rehearsal, and he's just ripping them, a new one. And he, you sons of blah, 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 all kinds of, and Chandra politely, just without saying a word, being the diva that she is, the elegant diva that she is, she walks over to her coat and her little briefcase, she just picks up underneath her arm and she walks out.
Wow.
And so then our production manager had to organize. He said, "Well, where are you going?" And so they had to, she just never said anything and left. So they had to organize this lunch for the two of them because she was just going to leave the production. And George, he said, "Well, why did you just leave?" She said, "George, you can't talk to me that way. I'm not, I respect you, but I'm not going to be talked to like I'm Boo Boo the Fool." So he said, "Well, you don't understand. I've mellowed." And he was like, "Well, you're not mellow enough." So from then on, they kind of reconciled. She came back to the rehearsal, and he would say things. "All of you sons of, except Chandra. Could you move left?" Chandra, if you move left, I'd be back.
Wow.
But yeah, that was. So what was your initial question?
My initial question was this tradition of you not coming to the opening night.
There you
go. Once you've directed the show and you've gone through, the.
Well, back in Jumanji days, we started having subscribers, and I was a chain smoker. That was when you could still smoke in public buildings. So it would be opening night and I would be a wreck. And so I'm chain smoking, I'm leaving the theater, I'm coming back in. I'm leaving the theater, smelling like probably, every kind of tobacco stack. And they started getting complaints at the box office. There's a gentleman who smells a lot like cigarettes, who's really a little disruptive. He keeps getting up and going, and all you can hear him is going, oh my. I said, okay, well, what I'll start doing is just I'll wait in the lobby and listen to the show. Well, that was still nerve-wracking. So then I said, well, I'll wait across the street at the bar. And I'll wait till the show is over and come back. And then actors start saying, well, what did you think? And, not wanting to tell them that I hadn't seen it. I would start making up stories. Oh, yeah, what you were doing was amazing. And it really was a good show. When you came out, I saw you. But I would listen to, audience response of, oh, did you see? And then I would use those lines. Well, one actor kind of got hit because I think that he knew that I hadn't seen it. And she said, yeah, man, when I tripped and coming out in the second act, did you see that? I said, yeah, man, are you okay? He said, you didn't see the show. I didn't trip. So at that point, I just stopped lying. I said, I don't go to open next. It's just too nerve-wracking. And as long as you're in previews, then you work the next day. You're looking at it with the eye of, how do we fix? But once opening night happens, it's the actor's journey. It's released. And you have to, you have to be like, throw the birds out of the nest. They fly on their own. And there's nothing you can do if it doesn't. So rather than take myself through that, I just stopped going. So for the last 25, 30 years, I haven't seen an opening night. I just don't go.
Yeah. And Tom's known me since I was a rookie around this thing. I just realized that about him, that he doesn't come to opening.
Yeah, it's too painstaking. I don't. And it's better for the people who actually paid money to see the show. They don't want to hear somebody behind them go, that's just not fun for them. It's like they keep looking to the side. Could you be quiet? I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. So just to avoid all of that, all of that commotion at the box office, I just don't go.
Well, guys, thank you so much for being guests today on Upfront.
Cool. We're not done.
We're not done.
I don't know what you better dial up a part two and three.
Well, I did have one more question. I think this is the question you were going to try to throw back at me. But let's talk about the music, because this show ranges from R&B, there's blues, there's jazz, there's swing. So can we talk about, and S. Renee Clark, who has done amazing work with numerous productions around the city.
Yeah. Who I gave her first job. Wow. Back at Jumanji. We actually toured Europe together. I mean, yeah, so it's always full circle. So we always enjoy working with each other. The music is just extraordinary. Louis Jordan is just, he was musically a genius. He was gifted, you know, and I think he wrote in such an array of styles. He wrote in, I think, what is that hybrid? You know, it was jazz, it was blues, it was rhythm and blues. It was kind of the architect. You know, when Little Richard says, you know, he was the architect of rock and roll. No, really, Louis Jordan was. That's you know, right. And I think everybody else built That's upon right. the kind of foundation that he came. So there,
rap is heavily influenced by Louis Jordan.
Absolutely,
yeah, rap you know, music.
Absolutely. So was yeah, absolutely because this you hear so much of that kind of that same kind of meter.
That's right.
He created. So you hear all different kind of styles of music, and you think, oh wow. Well, did you do something in terms of updating it? No, they're just the arrangements of his music. And if you listen to original recordings, you see it's very certainly they embellish, but it's very close to what his kind of musical thinking was. And he is that linchpin, I think, between Duke and you know, and Jimmy Lunsford and Count Basie and all of that big band. He's that linchpin. You know, he and the Timpani Five take you from there to you know R&B by blending all of those different styles, and you hear all of that reflected in the music.
Wow. You had a story that you wanted
to tell. Yeah, so really quickly. Now it was technically after Tom wasn't with Jumanji anymore. But, this is my second time doing Five Guys Named Mo. Last time I did it was a co-production between Jumanji and Springer Opera House.
Okay.
So to revisit it as, you know, a man removed from his 20s by some years. Is,
now, were you No Mo during that show?
No,
too?
I was Little Mo in that production.
Okay.
Yeah, and I thought that one was high energy. But this one is a lot of fun. People, y'all got to come see this thing. I still got it a little bit.
You
I could cut a rug or two a little bit, sing a little bit. You know, I got to work harder on the conditioning and have a little longer rest in between shows. But it's a lot of fun, and people don't want to miss this one.
What do you think is going to be the takeaway message, or what do you want as a director for people to walk away with from the show?
Two things. One, the enormity of the talent of artists working in Atlanta. That's one. And two, the musical legacy of Louis Jordan that we sometimes forget. That in the pantheon of, you know, in the Mount Rushmore of kind of musical architects, particularly in the jazz and rhythm, blues, and blues tradition, he's very often omitted. And so hopefully people will rediscover that kind of genius.
And for you, Eugene, as the performer?
Oh, a redemption, you know, that as long as you're still breathing air, there are some things that still can be made right. No Max gets it together. I won't give it away, you know, like that. But there's always hope. You know, there's a chance, like I said, if you woke up this morning and you got some senses about yourself, you can make an effort to mend some relationships. So I like the redemption aspect of it. And yeah, kind of like what Tom was saying, it's such a cool opportunity to show how we do in ATL. You know, it's like, hey, we got some singing, acting, dancing going on down here. And it's just what we do. And it's our tradition.
Yeah. Now can I end this?
You can. Thank you.
Well, Tom and Eugene, thank you so much for being guests today on Upfront. And again, you can get more information about Five Guys Named Mo taking place now through June 30th over at Theatrical Outfit. You can get all that information at WCLK.com. Thanks so much, guys.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Well, that'll do it for this weekend's show. I'd like to thank all of my special guests, Kenny Leon, Pearl Clegg, Camille Russell Love, Thomas W. Jones II, and Eugene H. Russell IV. I'd also like to thank my engineer, Jami Wellman, and the voice of Casting Buzz, Reva Blue. Please join us next Saturday, June 15th, for another exciting edition of Upfront, Inside Atlanta's Entertainment Industry. Happy Saturday, Atlanta.
If you like today's show, please hit us up at WCLK.com. We'd love to hear from you.
Upfront, Inside Atlanta's Entertainment Industry has been brought to you by Atlanta's Jazz Station, 91.9 FM, WCLK, an NPR member-supported station.